We invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the first book, Genesis, and we'll be reading a verse in chapter 1, verse 31, and then we're going to go to chapter 2, reading verses 15 through 17. Revival begins when God's people stop resenting what they don't like around them and start surrendering everything that God doesn't like within them. Think about that. In our conversations, in our thought life, do we ever struggle with a spirit of accusation? Revival will get rid of that. And I confess that I deal with that not more than on occasion, but often. And the question I think we're going to all need to entertain today as we start revival, where art thou? God asked that of Adam. But I think that's a question that we all need to answer. Accountability before God. Genesis 1:31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. For all who are able, we invite you to kneel at this time.
I ask an interest in your prayers. Brother Ray asked to give a little bit of an introduction. I really don't have a whole lot. I'm just an old farm boy now. I'm just a dumb truck driver. So pretty well sums it up. But I'm imported from Lancaster County in 1989 to Franklin County when I married my beautiful wife, Melody. We have four children, Wendy, Jordan, Morgan, and Denver. Couple grandchildren, so it's good to be here. Brother Kenny asked if I have butterflies. That's an understatement, but anyway, I look forward to being with you this week. Continue to pray that God would have his will and his way in each of our lives. I guess to maybe pinpoint a person, at least all of us older ones know Brother Jim Meyer. I grew up neighbors to him. In fact, my brother spent a couple of years milking his cows, so I guess there's a connection you can put together. Thank you, Brother Kenny, for your opening. As he read the verses there, verse 31 in Genesis says it is very good. But prior to there, every time the creation here, what was created, it's mentioned it was good. So my thought this morning from the pull from Genesis here is the beautiful setting that God created and placed Adam and Eve is in, Everything was perfect. I mean, can you imagine the perfectness that was their creation? No sin, no heartaches, no pain. And I would like to compare that to the love, the peace, the joy that you and I have that have accepted Christ as our Savior. And I seen this some time ago on a sign. It said, "Peace is seeing the sunset and knowing who to thank." Isn't that awesome that we serve a God so great? What a blessing it is to know Jesus and experience him in our lives. And then Genesis 3 verses 8 through 10. This is, I'll just brief it. This is after the fall. And verse 8 says, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Why was he hiding? We all know the story. Because they sinned. And because of that sin, the beautiful experience in the Garden of Eden is over. But you know, as we go life, again, I want to compare this to our spiritual walk of life. Because of sin, our experience with Jesus Christ can get interrupted. And if we yield to sin, if we yield to sin, it interrupts that relationship. My question this morning is there any sin you're trying to hide from God? It won't work. And if so, if God were to ask you and I, "Where art thou?" And if we're hiding, why are we hiding? What would our answer be? And I guess this morning, as we start this series of revivals, my question to you is, where art thou in your Christian walk of life? And if you're not walking with the Lord, my prayer is, and I believe the heart of Jesus would be, that you would start that journey with Jesus sooner than later. Where art thou, and where art thou headed? I believe it's an important ingredient of revival. An important ingredient of revival is acknowledging that we need it. As we go through life, we tend to just get caught in the rut of things. And the tendency is to become complacent. The tendency is to maybe become numb to Satan and the sin that he would try and bring in our lives. I feel sometimes, yeah, that we just get complacent, and we need to be reminded where we're at. You know, we have gauges, we have thermometers, etc., to check the performance of our physical things. We have God's word, brothers and sisters, to give us a check of where we're at. In other words, how is my responses? How is my attitudes? Brother Kenny mentioned bitterness and whatnot in his prayer. Is that stuff in us? Sometimes it is, and we don't realize it. But our actions and our reactions, brothers and sisters, will indicate where we're at in our spiritual life. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 3. It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Again, I want to warn and that we guard ourselves against thinking that we are somebody that we aren't. Satan will try and deceive us. He'll try and get us to think that we are this, you know, you're going to church, you're doing this, you're doing that. You're just a pretty good guy. But I want to warn against that mindset. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. the first 12 verses. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of servants. Neither murmur, yet ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for an examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. And I guess that's the scripture we'd like to zoom in. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand, take heed, lest he fall. And sometimes that's how it is when we think we're in one of our best moments. Satan will try his hardest. Satan will try his hardest to get us to fall. If we just look at a couple verses there in this chapter, verse 9, it talks about tempting Christ. And how often do we find ourselves? We might not look at it as a temptation, but we talk with the Lord, and sometimes, you know, Lord, I'll do this for you, but can you do this for me? Folks, Christ has done everything he possibly can for you and I. It's our responsibility now to serve him without questions, without a bargain. Verse 10, I guess this is one that gets me quite a bit. When's the last time, you know, we just had, at least in Franklin County, almost a week of just dreary, rainy, yucky weather. It's a little harder to praise the Lord when it's that mindset. But again, you know, we need to take heed that we don't fall into the same situation as he's talking about here in 1 Corinthians. Verse 5, he starts out, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. So I guess I have down here, when we are well pleased with ourselves, I don't believe God is pleased with us. You know, we are only who we are by the grace of God. Nothing that we have done or said. The story is told, a minister, a Boy Scout, and a computer executive were the only passengers on the plane. The pilot came back and said the plane was going down, but there was only 3 parachutes and 4 people. The pilot said, I should have one because I have a wife and 3 small children, and he jumped. The computer executive said, I should have one of the parachutes because I'm the smartest man in the world, and they still need me. He jumped. The minister turned to the Boy Scout and said with a sad smile, you're young, and I have lived a good life, so you take the parachute and I'll go down with the plane. The Boy Scout said, relax, Reverend. The smartest man in the world just picked up my knapsack and jumped out the plane. You see, pride goeth before destruction. Again, the warning this morning that we would search our lives. Where art thou? Where are you headed? Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and are all our righteousness as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, the wind, have taken us away. I'd like to go to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 11 through 14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I fear too often we boast in the things that we do, and it is good that we do them. But there is so much more we could be doing for the Lord, at least many areas in my life where I could be doing better. So this man, this Pharisee, you know, all the praise, all the glory he was pulling to himself. It's good he done all them things we're instructed to. But the publican, seeing his need for salvation, I think he realized what Jesus had done for him. He says, just be merciful to me, a sinner. Where are you this morning? Where am I? Luke 15. Verses 17 through 21. And this is speaking to the prodigal son. And when he came to himself, he said, actually, before I start there, I have some notes here that go better with where we just were. Looking at the publican and the Pharisee, self-righteousness, I believe, is self-destruction. If we really think about it, when we think about all I'm doing, really it's selfish. It's not what we have done, but it's what Jesus has done for us. Again, I want to stress that. The Pharisees had the works, but they were working for the wrong person. They did all the right things, but they were doing it for themselves, to make themselves look good. But I believe it's all about Jesus and his work in my life. Is where it is. Luke 15, 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and he was yet a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. So this is the prodigal son. We all know what he did. He begged his inheritance from his dad, and he went down into the far country and spent it and wasted it. And then only then, until he came to the end of himself, did he realize who he was and his need for a savior. And now we want to go to verses 25 through 30. Now his elder son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. And yet thou gavest me a kid. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. I just have the prodigal realized he sinned, the self-righteous didn't. The prodigal son repented of his wrong, but I don't know if this other brother did repent. The scripture doesn't record it. But again, he was caught up. He was caught up in his self-righteousness. He was caught up in all the good things that he did. But what about Jesus? Let's go to Mark 10. And again, I throw out the warning that as we start these series of revivals, that we would search our lives. What might we be hiding? Maybe there's something you you know you should be doing, but you just don't have the strength or grace to do it. This would be a good time to make that reality in your life. Mark chapter 10. Verses 17 through 22. It says, and when he was gone forth unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had many possessions. I guess my question this morning is, what is lacking in my life? What is lacking in your life? Well, we think we're living a pretty good life and we're doing all the right things. Are we committed to Jesus? Is he ruler? Is he head of our lives? Is he King of Kings of the things we do, look at, and say? You know, I have to think at the end of the day, as you spend a day in a truck, or as you spend a day in the butcher shop as a brother, whatever your occupation is, at the end of the day, do you take inventory of the words, of the actions? And sometimes as we look back, I might have done or said something I shouldn't have. It's like, what was I thinking there? And I think at those times we need to brush up and do what we can to not let that happen again. Or, you know, where did that action come from? Where did that thought come from? I think we need to search our hearts, search our lives, let the Spirit of God work in us and reveal to us where that came from, that I might next time be able to do better. Next time I can overcome that weak spot. Galatians 5, verses 1 through 7. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And I guess the question this morning is, who or what is hindering our spiritual life? Who or what is keeping me from doing what the Lord would have me to do? Who or what in your life this morning is going to keep you from revival this week? We need to deal with it. We need to address it. I just challenge us to search our lives. See where we have slacked off or shirked our spiritual life. See where there may be some area we need more growth. I believe that's, if we're all honest, that's all of us. Thank you. But maybe, I guess the question this morning is, are we living a consistent Christian life? And there's a story. There's a woman, a stressed out woman who was tailgating a man as he drove on a busy boulevard. When he slowed to a stop at a yellow light, the woman hit the horn, cussing and screaming in frustration and gesturing angrily. As she was still in mid-strand, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a police officer who ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station and placed her in a holding cell. About an hour later, the officer returned and said, "I'm sorry, ma'am. This has been a big mistake. But when I pulled up behind you, I noticed your 'What Would Jesus Do?' license plate holder and your 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker. I assumed the car was stolen." Where are we this morning? Where are we when the knife is dull and you only got one more cut to make? Where is our hearts when, yeah, we get in a traffic jam or somebody pulls out in front of us or we're on the last couple bales and the baler breaks? It's just right easy to get frustrated. It's just right easy to lose our cool. But are we living a consistent Christian life? You know, wouldn't it be nice if we could just set our spiritual life on cruise control and sit back and relax? But I don't believe that's the case with the born-again child of God. You know, I believe the more you're trying to live for the Lord, the more Satan's going to try and attack you. The more Satan is trying going to get you and make you to do wrong. So it's not about an easy life, but it's about living for Jesus Christ at the end of the day. So I guess in closing, every day, every month, every year, every season has its teaching and growing lessons. One more thing I wanted to read here yet. And I know this sounds a little strong, but bear with me. I believe our Christian life isn't defined by how often we go to church. Please, that's good. That's necessary. But I believe it's defined by how are we living for the Lord away from church? How are we living Monday morning? How are we living Thursday afternoon? What do we do and say when things go wrong? Can we still have a good attitude? Can we still thank the Lord for what didn't break, right? Or what didn't go wrong? Another thought is, we are never above mistakes, but I trust that we can learn from them. As we fall, the Bible says, what does it say? 7 times we fall, but the righteous man gets back up and gets going again. We don't stay down. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." And this is speaking of the end times. He's saying how the earth is going to dissolve. You know, and living a life here in a spoiled life here in spoiled America, we can't grasp that someday this is going to go away. But it is. We're only passing through. And I'm, again, I say this cautiously, but I'm not afraid. I'm afraid this good life in America causes us to become complacent. And if we're not careful, we lack in our spiritual life. Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So as we go through this week, I trust that would be our prayer. Nothing I'm going to say or do will convince you. But as we look into the Spirit and into the Word, I trust that the Spirit of God would search your heart, search your lives, bring out those areas that we need improvement in, those areas that the things that we need to be doing that would draw us closer to God. I trust that we would find them. And those areas that's leading us away from God, that we would find them and come away from them and seek the Lord and serve Him while He may be found. Brother Ray, would you come and lead us in a word of prayer?